The opinions and commentary expressed in the following presentation do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, the Economic Club of Indiana, or the Economic Club's agents or sponsors. Support for the Economic Club of Indiana is provided by the Lumina Foundation, with a goal to increase the percentage of Americans with high-quality degrees and credentials to 60% by the year 2025, focused on ensuring an accessible, responsive, and accountable higher education system.
Welcome to the Economic Club of Indiana. Today's presentation comes from Jack Phillips, President and CEO of Roche Diagnostics.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. Good afternoon, everybody. So when I was asked to speak today, about a year ago, David Johnson asked me to speak, and I graciously accepted, and then I asked him, you know, what do you want me to speak about? And he's like, Jack, you can speak about anything you want to speak about. And I'm like, no, really, what do you want me to speak about? And he says, no, really, anything. So what I thought I'd do today is talk about some of the things that I'm quite passionate about, and that's first Roche Diagnostics. And I want to talk a bit about what we do at Roche. And one of the things, for having been here for 8 years now, from the Midwest, as Claire said, in Kentucky, I've been in Indiana in this role for 8 years. And one of the things that I find as I go throughout the community is people know Roche. They see us up on 69 there in the northeast part of town, but really most people don't really know what Roche does. So I'd like to spend a bit of time talking about that. And then also talking about the value of diagnostics that we deliver and what we actually do to improve the lives of patients. So we'll talk a bit about that. And then I'd like to bring it back home to the future and what the future holds for diagnostics, for Roche, and this wonderful place we call home, Central Indiana. So at Roche, we are focused, the organization that I'm responsible for in North America, we are focused on diagnostics. And what that really is about is it's about every day improving the lives of people afflicted with many diseases, many challenges. That's what we are focused on. And this is where the confusion, I think, comes in often with, hey, what does Roche actually do? What is diagnostics in healthcare? And diagnostics in healthcare is a very, very broad topic, right? Diagnostics, one of the earliest diagnostics tools was the stethoscope that I think was invented in 1816 and still in existence today. That would be a diagnostic tool. What we actually do at Roche and our focus at Roche is in a very important area of diagnostics that I want to take a minute and explain. It's called in vitro diagnostics. Claire mentioned that, and that's typically where the confusion starts. Okay, what is in vitro diagnostics? In vitro diagnostics is really about testing and doing diagnostic testing of really all samples inside the body, but doing that testing outside the body. Okay, to try to make it more real for everybody in the room here, when you go to the doctor to get your annual physical and you have a blood, the first thing you do is you're asked to have your blood drawn. Tubes of blood are drawn. That is in vitro diagnostics that typically goes to a laboratory for testing, a clinical laboratory. Or, God forbid, when you're struck with potential cancer and you have a tissue biopsy that's done. Okay, that is in vitro diagnostics that goes to a histology laboratory. Or if you're being tested for an infectious disease of some kind, HCV, HIV, etc., that's an in vitro diagnostic test that goes to a molecular laboratory. These type of tests, there's hundreds of them, run across many different sciences. Many, many different sciences. They come into play in the whole entire continuum of care of health for patients, from screening to wellness to diagnosing what's going on to predicting what will happen in the future and to monitoring your disease. Our business model, how we actually continue to thrive, grow, and invest in what we do. Our business model is often referred to as a razor blade model, razor blade model. And what that simply is we manufacture and develop all kinds of systems, very large systems, small systems. And what many of you have seen and know, how you know Roche in the room here, even handheld systems to do basic glucose testing that you would get at a Walgreens or a CVS. The customers that we serve are wide ranging. We serve laboratory, main reference laboratories like Lab Corporation of America and Quest, publicly traded companies like that are our largest customers. But we also serve many, many, and pretty much all of the healthcare institutions across the world. To put things in perspective, in 2017, these diagnostic tests that I'm talking about, we estimate that we produced, that off of our systems, laboratory professionals produced about 19 billion tests globally off of a Roche, some kind of Roche diagnostic platform. So what I'd like to do is dive into a few numbers first, and that's, it's first of all, the size of the market that we play in, this market of in vitro diagnostics. This is a $50 billion market that's growing at roughly about 3% a year. The 70% number is the impact that in vitro diagnostics has in medical decisions. We estimate that every medical decision that's made by a doctor to direct therapy, wellness, whatever that might be in any way, 70% of the time when those decisions are made, they're made utilizing a diagnostic test. The 2% number that you see up on the screen, what is 2%? The 2% is the annual spend, the annual healthcare spend that's directed towards in vitro diagnostics. So in the end, the point that I'm making here, and it is an economic club luncheon, is the value of diagnostics is a pretty darn good value in healthcare. 70% of the decisions in healthcare, but yet only 2% of the spend. So let's talk about healthcare in America. Could be another topic for another day. To get into that in detail, it's a quite divisive topic. It's a topic that we hear about every day. And no, I'm not going to get into this in great detail. But what I do want to point out is two things that we all agree on when it comes to healthcare, our healthcare specifically in the U.S. One, we must reduce the cost of healthcare. Period. The second thing that everyone agrees on as well is we must improve outcomes. We must improve the lives of people, and we can. And so what I'd like to do, carrying that theme forward of improving outcomes, reducing cost, and to try to make it a bit real for what we do at Roche and what in vitro diagnostics is I decided to pick three examples. And I'm not going to get too technical here. Don't worry, I'm not an MD, and my chief medical officer is in the house as well, so he may correct me. But what I do want to do is actually walk through three examples on how diagnostics impacts healthcare, and frankly, how diagnostics impacts, I think, everyone for sure in this room. And so the first example I'd like to tee up is something that's been in the news pretty much every day for the past 2 months, and that's flu. We're having one of the worst flu seasons, as we all likely know in this room, on record. I think it's the worst since 2009, and 2009 was the swine flu year. Very unfortunately, you've probably seen that in the state of Indiana, there's been about 167 deaths or more already this flu season. The cost that's estimated due to flu in healthcare It's an $87 billion annual burden because of flu. So let me talk to you now about what the diagnostic piece and where diagnostics comes into this. Typically, when you have flu symptoms and you're feeling bad, your significant other usually, or if it's a child, you take the child, or your significant other pushes you to go to the doctor, and you go to the doctor and get checked out. Your symptoms are checked. And typically what happens there is they'll take a nasopharyngeal swab, which is they stick something right up your nose, and they take out some things to it's an in vitro diagnostic, right? We're learning. I know we're having lunch. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have gone there, but I did. So that's your sample, right? And so this is where the problem starts, typically in diagnosing flu, okay? A very common, what we call in our industry, a traditional rapid test analyzer is used. It's a very quick test, okay? What you don't often hear and what you're not often told, those tests are about 50% accurate. So about 50% of the time when your child or you are diagnosed by using one of these rapid tests, 50% of the time it's right. So I don't have a coin in my pocket, but maybe it's better to flip a coin, right? And so this is where an example of where the innovation at Roche comes into play. Over the past year, Roche, we've been developing a product called the Cobas Liat, okay, which is a PCR technology type device that until now has strictly been used in very high complex molecular laboratories. We've been able to develop a device that's now available in almost any setting in healthcare, from retail to urgent care centers, you name it. And in about 20 minutes, you can get a 95% accurate reading on whether you have flu or you don't have flu. That is the power of diagnostics. That's the impact of innovation, of investing in innovation. It's actually been something you may have seen on the news. We're not often in the news for in vitro diagnostics because, again, it's not a real popular topic for the general public, but my marketing team has told me we've actually been on the news with all the major news sources here in Indiana about the Cobas Liat and the impact we're having on flu. The next example is another, really, really important topic, and that's around heart failure and cardiac issues. Some stats here. Every 40 seconds, someone in the U.S. has a heart attack. I think we know how this occurs, right? Interruption to the heart. Blood supply is interrupted to the heart. And the longer that goes on, I think we also know what happens. The heart becomes damaged. And so when you talk to cardiologists and ER doctors, there's a big saying that minutes mean muscle. The quicker we know, the quicker we can act, the more chance we have of saving a life. So every minute that passes is ambiguity, and ambiguity is the enemy here. And the other thing that's a key factor for those 7 million people, 7 million visitors to the ER every year, the other thing that's a tremendous factor is that doctors do not want to send anyone home that's having a heart attack, okay, when they think they're fine. But the reality is, of those 7 million that go to the ER every year, only about 4% of those 7 million are actually having a heart attack, 4%. And so another example where Roche and innovation is playing a big role in healthcare and in saving lives. Speed and accuracy in this example. Quickly getting an answer, and boy, it better be accurate, right? And so troponin, a little bit of the science lesson again today. Troponin is a specific marker of cardiac cell death that's released actually into the bloodstream when the heart is damaged. And so last year, we've been working for quite a while on a diagnostic test for troponin that we just received approval on from the FDA on. And it's a highly sensitive troponin test. It's the only high-sensitive troponin test on the market today. We're the only one. And the reality is, it's a total game changer for this challenge of accurately diagnosing those patients that think they're having a heart attack. In nine minutes, we can accurately diagnose whether someone is or is not having a heart attack. Okay? The impact to the health system is we are driving costs way down by sending the right people home safely. The impact to patients is they're being treated much quicker if they are having a cardiac event. Another stat, cost to the healthcare system for those 7 million patients is about $5 billion annually, $5 billion. The third example that I want to share is in the area of oncology. And Roche has been doing major work in oncology for many years on both the pharmaceutical side, but also clearly on the diagnostic side. And there's great innovation that's happening everywhere here. I thought I'd pick one example that where when I look at the stats, it's very meaningful to me. And it's the area of cervical cancer. Over 99% of cervical cancers are caused by a virus. And many of us in this room have heard this virus. It's called human papillomavirus. 99% of cancer for cervical cancer comes from that virus. And also, cervical cancer is actually, it's one of the most treatable and preventable, it's preventable diseases that are out there. It's one of the most preventable cancers there is. But yet today, in this world we live in today, 500,000 women are diagnosed each year with cervical cancer. And sadly, 270,000 women die each year from cervical cancer. Now, granted, many of these women, many of these women are in developing countries where access to healthcare is a challenge, let alone an advanced diagnostic test, right? But what I thought I'd do is bring it home to this room here. Here in Indiana, one woman dies every 3 days in the state of Indiana from cervical cancer. So here's the science again. Most people have heard of the PAP test that's been around for many, many years. Most women go to their OBGYN annually and have that PAP test done. Like flu, that PAP test is about 50% helpful in diagnosing cancer. And it's because the PAP test actually looks for those cells that are already cancerous versus that key information that is precancerous called HPV. So this is where, again, Roche comes in. Roche offers an HPV test that can be ran off of that same exact patient sample, and it actually detects that virus very accurately. So women that actually test positive for HPV, and we were recently, over the past year, approved with this diagnostics as a primary frontline screen for cervical cancer. So you can actually use this now and actually not use the PAP at all. By diagnosing women with HPV accurately with a Roche HPV test, they can quickly be monitored and disease can be prevented. 93% of cervical cancers can be prevented. 93%. The other good news here is that we're actually proud to be working alongside Governor Holcomb, members of the Indiana General Assembly and the Indiana State Department of Health, to really focus on decreasing Indiana's cervical cancer incidence and mortality rate. By the end of this year, the Department of Health, under Dr. Box's leadership, will be actually delivering a plan to eliminate cervical cancer in the state of Indiana. How about that? So, again, those are three examples of basic examples, really. Those are single diagnostic tests where diagnostics is playing such a key role in improving the lives of all patients globally. What I'd like to move to now is for a minute here is what's ahead. The opportunity in healthcare in diagnostics is quite exciting. And you know, in so many industries, and I know up on this stage, you've heard about transformations in many other industries. In fact, last month at the Economic Club, the topic was energy, and we talked about the speaker talked about the transformation of energy and how digital transformation is occurring. Healthcare is now on that trend. We are at that point where it's rapidly evolving and transforming. And I believe we're at a tipping point. I believe we're at a tipping point where diagnostics, where science, where discovery is converging with technology, with software. So where is Roche at here? What are we doing in this space? And I think, first of all, what I'd like to first mention is science and some of the examples that I gave here today. Science continues to be absolutely critical in healthcare and always will be. There is so much more for us to discover about the human body. Over our lifetimes here, we've learned much about genetic sequencing and sequencing in the human genome. We are discovering so much and learning so much every day. And so that will be front and center for Roche, and that is not something we will be abandoning anytime soon, is our science and discovery in pharmaceutical and in diagnostics. But there is something else that's coming in a big way for Roche, and we're in the middle of it now, and it's what we call digital diagnostics. And it's really about, digital diagnostics is really about helping to harness all this volume of information, from diagnostic tests to real-world data to articles on certain disease, and bringing that together, okay, in a cohesive way to create better outcomes, okay, beyond that one HPV test or beyond that one flu test, and bringing it all together. So a bit about our strategy here and how we're going about this. It's not a one-way approach. We are not approaching this as an internal venture for Roche. It's taking many, many different companies and partnering and collaborating across our sector and outside of our sector. And so a couple things that we're up to right now that I thought I'd just mention quickly here is, first of all, from an FDA standpoint, the FDA is very interested in what's happening in the space of digital diagnostics. And Roche is very involved there. And one of the things I wanted to mention today is we are one of nine companies selected by the FDA, one of two healthcare companies to participate in a pre-certification program through the FDA to look and understand how these digital solutions can be more rapidly approved through the FDA. And I've got to give kudos to the FDA for really thinking broadly about this. But while Roche is at the table and we're proud to be at the table, I think what's interesting is the other companies that are at the table with us are companies like Google, Fitbit, Apple. They are all part of this nine-company team that's looking at this. The other couple things that we're doing is last month, or last October, we launched the Navify Tumor Board, which again is a diagnostic tool. It's a digital tool that will allow oncologists to better manage those patients that they review in tumor boards. In November, we acquired a company called Viewix. That company will allow us to go outside the laboratory and let healthcare professionals better manage the information and business analytics that happen in the lab. Last month, you may have seen that we struck a deal with GE Healthcare. They're in the in vivo space, by the way. And they're a leading provider of that's medical imaging equipment and so forth. And we have a collaboration with GE to co-develop some of these new digital diagnostic tools. And then it didn't make it on the slide because it just happened yesterday, and we were not sure if it would be done by then. Just yesterday, you may have seen in the news that Roche acquired a company called Flatiron Health, and they're strictly a healthcare digital information company that's focused in the area of oncology. And we acquired them for $1.9 billion yesterday. So lots going on in the digital space. More to come. So moving on and closing out my comments here, the last thing I wanted to try to bring home literally here is what is Roche doing here in Indiana? What about Indiana, and how do we come together? Right here in Indianapolis, as I think Claire mentioned, we have 4,600 people that call Indianapolis their home and also call Roche their employer. There are great reasons why we're here in Indiana. There are great reasons why Amazon selected us as one of 20 cities, okay, on their short list. A couple things for us, it starts with an engaged life science community. That's why we came here, because we ended up acquiring a company that acquired an entrepreneur from the great state of Indiana. Life science here is tremendous, and it continues to grow. And one example of this is the Indiana Biosciences Research Institute, which is a nonprofit organization that's designed and set up to attract world-class talent and to focus on discovery in basic research, but also what we call applied or translational research. And so we're very focused collaboratively with all the great scientists from the universities, with private business, with the support of government, with the support of philanthropy, and we've come together, and you've probably heard about this, being in the city and probably here also at the Economic Club, we've come together to really focus on moving big ideas forward. The other reason, based on my last comments about where we're going, that we're excited, why we're excited to be here in Indiana, is the exploding tech community. With innovative organizations like TechPoint and now Salesforce being here, we are, I believe, really on the verge of exploding relative to technology in the state of Indiana and right here in central Indiana. The last thing I would mention as well is around workforce. For Roche and for, I think it's safe to say, probably every individual that runs or works for a company in this room, workforce is so important. And it's a big challenge for Roche as well. Through the Central Indiana Corporate Partnership, you may have heard about the Ascend Indiana program that was started about a year or two ago. We're first to sign up with us, one of the first to sign up with Ascend, and we're just tremendously excited to be working alongside Ascend to really look at our strategic challenges around workforce and put some really exciting programs in place to move forward. So we're looking ahead relative to our workforce needs into the future. And so with that, we're actually partnering with universities here through Ascend, and embarking on some really, really exciting things that in the Q&A maybe we'll even get to. The other thing I would mention relative to workforce that's very important to Roche has been around STEM education, and through our partnership with the City of Indianapolis and TechPoint Foundation for Youth to support VEX Robotics. It started in Marion County schools 5 years ago and has grown now to be a statewide competition. We also partner with Women in High Tech and Connor Prairie to offer an annual STEM fair that's geared towards young ladies 7 to 12 years of age. The last thing I'd mention about Indiana and Roche, and that I'm likely most proud of, is our collaboration. And not Roche's collaboration, but as a community, our community collaboration that we have here in Indiana is second to none. This collaboration, this network governance that's been written about in a recently published book called The New Localism, okay, where one chapter was dedicated to the state of Indiana, or to Indianapolis, I should say, actually, where it was talked about how government, private, public, universities, philanthropy come together and jointly work together to solve problems and grow as a community. So again, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be here today. I hope that what you take away from my comments today is a bit more understanding about what Roche does, what we do in the area of diagnostics. I hope you leave here thinking a bit more about your own health and the importance of continuing to ask questions of your healthcare providers, your physicians, and be engaged in your own health. And I also hope that you have a bit more appreciation for what a great, great place we have here in Central Indiana. If you'd like to learn more about what we're doing at Roche, I'd like to offer anyone in the room to come and visit us up on Hague Road. We have the opportunity there to talk to you about our history. We could share with you more in detail the innovation that we live every day. We'd also love to show you our new campus with the alternate workspace that our employees enjoy every day. You're all invited. Send me an email if you'd like to come and visit, and we'll arrange that for you. And I am serious, by the way. My head of communications is not too happy with me right now, but I am serious. So with that, thank you very much, and I appreciate it. And Claire, I think we'll take some Q&A.
Thank you, Jack. I learned a lot. That was really interesting. It's a little bit scary about that 50% statistic on those two diagnostic tests. So thank you for what Roche is doing there. I thought we'd start, while I'm waiting for audience questions, with the latter part of your presentation talking about Indianapolis. I was really interested to visit your new facility, or recently renovated facility, and it is gorgeous. It's clear Roche has put a lot of money into it. You're the North American headquarters here in Indianapolis. Would love to hear a little bit more about, you told us why Roche decided to invest here and all the wonderful things that are happening, but if you could be king for a day to do something different in Indianapolis or Central Indiana, is there anything that you think could make it an even greater place to attract companies like Roche so we can continue to thrive from an economic standpoint? Anything that you would do differently that you wish we had that we could have if we just put our heads together?
Great question. So again, I guess before I provide my focus feedback, if you will, as we call it at Roche, I do want to stress again, we have, as I said in my comments, we have so many good things going on and here, and the momentum for our economy here and our people and the people that his family here is just, the momentum is building, and it's really exciting. But back to your question is what else, okay? And there's always areas for improvement. I think, Claire, probably the biggest thing that I lose sleep about at night when I think about this community is we do not have a culture of health here. And I think it's important that we really, there's a lot of good work going on, and I'm talking about the culture of health for all of us here and our family and our community. And I just think that too often that takes a back seat. We have a lot of challenges, and again, I want to stress there is a lot of work going on, but I think there's an opportunity to take a step forward. In the areas of addiction, clearly a big challenge, not just here locally, but nationally. That's a big, big challenge. When I talk to the healthcare leaders of our great healthcare institutions here, mental health is another one that's also a major issue. And what my hope would be when I think about a culture of health is that we get to a place where, as a community, by the way, this isn't just about legislation, is that we really more rapidly drive forward creative ideas to make an impact. And I guess, you know, one example that's kind of near to me, and I know it's near to you, is smoking cessation. I mean, I think there's 24-25% of our Hoosiers still smoke, and there's been great work that's ongoing, led by Brian Mills and Claire. You've been involved in that, and also Dean Halverson, who's here today. I saw him earlier. Just great work to really deter smoking by putting a tax in place to raise the legal limit for smoking. And everything you look at from a stats standpoint says that works. And then the other piece that's exciting to me is the opportunity to bring that revenue in, and then put it towards other issues like mental health and our immediate issues around addiction. And so what I would like to see us do is move these things more rapidly forward. And I guess the last thing, and I'm sorry for going on, the last thing is just really all the other things around health that we can do around childhood obesity, for example, and Jump In is doing a lot of good work there, but I think we have to continue to do more. I think it's too easy for the schools to take out physical education and things like that really don't cost much at all, and I think we're just too quick to give up on those things.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that you mentioned addiction and mental health and obesity. They're obviously issues that we care about at the foundation, so thank you for bringing that up. You also mentioned when you were talking about what a great place Indianapolis is about Amazon, so I have to ask you, if you were to talk to Jeff Bezos, for example, and say, you know, if you wanted to consider locating your second headquarters,
I would take his call if he called
in Indianapolis, what would you say to him? Some of what you shared with us, anything else you'd say?
So why Indianapolis?
Yeah.
I guess, first of all, on this topic, this is really an important opportunity for us here in the state. I want to be clear. I'm not involved at all in the work that we're doing to bring Amazon to Indianapolis, so I haven't been involved at all. So my comments are my comments. Wow. So Amazon. So first of all, I think one of the things that comes to mind is, as a community, I think we should be very proud of being on that list, but we should be very confident that we should be on that list, okay? We should be on that list. And I think more often it's like, wow, we're on the list. No, we deserve to be on the list. And I mentioned some of these things in my comments around workforce, around a networked governance. Logistic-wise, we're well-suited for that. There's so many things that I think we all know so well. If I think about this Amazon opportunity, though, and you project it out a few years, and we have the opportunity to know, hey, why Indianapolis? There's a couple more things that I would like us to be able to add to the list, okay, which we're making progress in, but we still have work to do. One is diversity and inclusion. As a community, we are, you know, we are no mean city, and we know living here that we welcome all. But you know what? I think we need to continue to take a step forward and lean in there. From a education standpoint, we are doing tremendous things. Looking again forward, what I think we can do with education is really start bringing together pre-K, K to 12, higher education, and having more of a cohesive approach to really taking a true step forward in education that's going to have a direct impact in workforce, right? Mm-hmm. Direct impact in workforce. And so I think all the components are there, and I'll tell you, I know many of them, the leaders of our secondary education, our universities and colleges and that, they get it. I mean, they get it. I mean, in my mind, we have to move to a concept of continuous learning. I mean, we have to be continuously learning and moving forward. Hmm. The final thing I would say that, again, if we had 2 years to really work on this, and I think we really need to take a step forward in, is mobility. I've been on in many discussions over the years about, you know, all facets of our transportation system, and frankly, it's gone way beyond just people transportation. So I would really like to see us as a community, and I think, again, you ask about Amazon. I really think Amazon will ask us to be thinking about this too, if they're not already. It's what is our mobility strategy that really brings in autonomous vehicles and bike lanes and many, many other factors that will help look into the future and get our people around and other things as well.
Great. So they should definitely come here then, sounds like. Excellent.
I agree.
Well, to follow on some of your comments, you talked about workforce, and there's an audience question about workforce, and specifically your partnership with Ascend, their mission to focus on the middle skills gap and workforce issues more broadly. What exactly are you doing with them, and how are they providing a value to you and other employers on this really important topic?
Yeah, so I mentioned, obviously, Ascend in my comments. So this is I think this is an example of how we are just really looking forward-looking compared to really anyone out there in the U.S. anyway. And so Ascend is a workforce initiative that was born out of CICP, Central Indiana Corporate Partnership. And specifically what we're partnered with Ascend on a couple different projects. One I can't mention. One is around really broadening the net of how we recruit early in career and interns. So they're helping us broaden our net outside of just Indiana. And we're looking at recruiting outside of the state as well as within the state. And so they're helping us with that. We don't have the capacity to do that. And so they're helping us through that. And then the biggest project to maybe mention is it's a project that's focused on solving a real need that we have at Roche. So at Roche, we have almost 1,000 field service engineers out in the field that take care of all those instruments that I briefly talked about, and they're out in the U.S. And we have a big challenge, and it's a perfect storm. Many of them are retiring. About 20% of our engineers will be retiring over the next 5 years, and they're seasoned. They know what they do very well. Our business is growing well above market. We're a market leader today. We own the market in diagnostics, and we're growing above market. So the capacity is getting to be a challenge. And then what I mentioned in my comments today, the science is evolving and the digital piece is evolving, so it's getting more complex. And so to fill these positions, okay, my vice president is here today of our customer support organization. It's like a hamster wheel to try to recruit and train and bring engineers up to replace all these engineers and to add new engineers. And so what we've done with Ascend, okay, Ascend helped us think through a creative strategy. And then from that strategy, basically what we've decided to do is connect Roche with a university to partner on actually co-developing a curriculum, okay, that produces this next generation of engineer, okay? We will also have innovative, like, internship programs. So these interns will come, they'll actually, part of their education will be at Roche. They'll do semesters at Roche. And then with the idea is at the end of this whole period of their training, at University of Indianapolis, by the way, is who we're partnered with. At the end of this time, we will be looking to hire 30 or 40 of those students every single year. So every single year, and so with that, we expect to be building this pipeline for the future. And so in a couple years or more, we're going to be producing the engineers and then continuing to refine and modify that curriculum along the way. And so before they even graduate, they are going to know Roche. Before they even graduate, they're going to know a bit about how to actually be productive before they even start at Roche, right? And my recruiters and my field service engineers are going to be happy because they're going to be able to more consistently replace engineers.
That sounds like a really exciting new approach.
Yeah.
Well, we have many more questions from the audience, but you invited everyone to come visit with you up on
Peg
Road. So
yeah.
They can schedule an appointment and have that conversation with you. So please join me in thanking Jack Phillips.
Thanks.
You've been listening to President and CEO of Roche Diagnostics, Jack Phillips, part of the 2017-2018 Economic Club Speaker Series. Join us next month at this time for author, economist, and Harvard professor Ed Glaser. You can find more information at economicclub.com. The Economic Club of Indiana is a production of WFYI Public Media in Indianapolis for Indiana Public Broadcasting Stations.